Hello, everyone. Welcome to a really special Mac show because for those of you that have been on planet Mars and don't know it, unfortunately, Will Green died a few weeks ago and we had his funeral this week. And it was lovely to sit and talk to people about Will. And I thought, why don't we just do a show about people remembering Will? So we've invited the whole BTN community, all of the Slack room, the people that I think would be interested in coming. We've tried to spread the link as far as possible. And we're here just to sit and remember the man that was Will Green, who affected us all deeply. So, some deep emotional scars for some, like Don McAllister. And others that just couldn't stop laughing around the man. So we're just going to sit here and tell stories about what we remember from Will, and whatever comes out goes out. That's simple as that. Joining us as well, we've got Will's family, which is lovely. Because he really was an incredibly loved person across my network, and I know there's thousands of British Mac listeners who as well were tied into him emotionally as well. So kick us off with your best Will Green story. This scares the hell out of me.
I know that every time
come on
I
the
knew
show, and you're like, Will, what do you think? And it's like, oh my God, he's going to answer, isn't he? He's actually going to answer.
I think we should praise his Greeny's common sense. I distinctly remember the shock he experienced when he chose to eat pizza that had been sitting around for I think about 2 weeks unrefrigerated.
Oh, and then
was shocked, I say, that he got food poisoning and had to go to the hospital.
Shocked. That was one of the second or third time I encountered Will as part of this show, and I think I had a couple encounters before, but it's like, what, why, you know, why would you do this? But it seems, as you said, just completely natural to him.
Mm-hmm. It was about experiences, wasn't it? It was about, you know, jumping in without much thought to see just what happens, I think. And Will popped up in my village one night, and it was such a shock to me because he lives away from Cambridgeshire. And it was, I'd been convinced that it would be a really good idea to do one of the things in my list of being 40 years old. I had 40 things I wanted to do, mostly requested by the internet. And one of them was go to a village pub dressed as a Star Wars stormtrooper. So I got the entire outfit and it was really good and had this quite an adventure walking into the pub, but everything steamed up as I entered the pub. And the moment I took off the pub in this little village, took off the helmet because I couldn't see anything, who was standing in front of me but Will with a massive smile on his face.
He wasn't doing his Obi-Wan Kenobi impression, was he?
It was like, he was just laughing at me because I had no idea anybody was going to be there. It was a surprise party organised through the fact I'd left my phone unlocked on a table for a moment, and my wife had gone through the phone, and Will was one of the recent phone calls that I'd made, so he got invited. And I won't tell you what happened later on that night because it involved a bench in the snow, and we'd already had a lot of beers at that point. Maybe I'll save it for later.
I just want to say one thing before I duck out. I want to try bouncing along from Yorkshire all the way back to Yorkshire, but I am going to miss the Daft Bastards. So many times I went shopping and listened to the Mac show, and he would say something outrageous, mad, or otherwise stupid. And I had to stop and keep laughing. And all I could do was laugh. And there's a man walking around the street.
Oh, there he's gone in a tunnel.
And we'll never know what happened.
That was Will's audio connection most weeks, really, though, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. But I have to say, Ian's lighting is much better because Greeny typically had lighting that made it look like he was in the witness protection program.
That's true. I thought that Chuck, your comment in the Slack was apposite, really, for Will. You said, like, I didn't know him that well, but what I did was memorable.
Yeah, it was Ewan, because every time he would come on when I was on the show, I just sort of wanted to lean back and let him run, because he had his own agenda for whatever we were talking about.
One of the things that happened after I found out about, well, I spoke to Andy Vaughan, who did a lot of the original work on BTN with you, Patrice, as well. And one of the things that Andy did was he made an application that was 99 pence in the App Store. And all the money we said was going to go to the NSPCC. And it was the green counter. And the green counter was designed to help me, because Will would come on the show and would swear. And then I would be like, oh, my God, I've got to go through the whole show and try and find the three F-bombs that Will dropped. So Andy wrote an application that basically, when I started record, I could start the timer on the Will Green app. And every time he swore, I could poke him in the eye. And that would register a time code.
Oh my God, that's brilliant!
But it also, Will had, I didn't, unbeknownst to me, Will had recorded a pile of audio to go with the app for Andy. So it would be like Will going, "Oh, that hurt. I'm going to do my Don McAllister impression now."
Oh no,
Don McAllister, not a lot. And he would do. I've got 20 sound bites of Will, which I'll send to those people that want them. And they're just him reacting to being poked in the eye.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the show, I'd press stop and it would spit out a whole load of time codes so I could edit the show when Will had sworn.
Fantastic.
I asked him once to record audio for my sat-nav because I really wanted him to be my sat-nav voice.
Oh, mate.
Oh, that would have been fantastic.
We can do now with AI.
I know, right?
We might need permission for that.
Yeah, but Will would have been telling you to turn left when you should be turning right. It would have been got you nowhere.
Diverse them.
It no, would only my right. No, my right, not your right. My right,
or the other right.
It would tell you to turn left. It would never tell you to turn right. It would always say left turn.
Give me a minute. Left. Give me a minute to think about this.
Have you got that bleeper going today, Ewan? Because we're all going to give the F bomb later on in remembrance of Will.
No. If it comes out, it goes out. Simple as that. Batwinge, can you mute if you're? I think you've got a bit of background.
Yeah. If I can figure out how to do it in the day.
Ewan, I'm not sure if you're aware, but I do literally no edits on the shows.
Yeah, but you're too prissy, mate. You don't swear like Will did.
that's true. I am very prude. Pure as the driven snow. What?
No,
what?
You well, the story, because you know which side your bread's buttered on. That's the point. We had when we first started the Mac show, we'd been going like 4 or 5 weeks, and we had an approach from Asda, and they said, "We love your podcast. We want to sponsor it." Okay. Could you put us together a proposal with costings, etc.? Well, yeah, sure. So I went to town, and there was a document, and Will was in the document as well, and all of the people that were on the Mac show, Andy, who I haven't sent the link to, bugger, Andy, Happy Mac, Don McAllister, they were all in there and saying how great they were and what the reach was and that kind of stuff. And we did a podcast that Friday. And Will came up with this idea of doing the Don McAllister impression. So I was like, okay, I'll let him run with it. So he came in and he goes, "Hello, my name's Don McAllister." And I'm like, "That sounds like Paul Daniels." And he went, "No, it doesn't." I went, "It's Don McAllister." I went, "It sounds like Paul Daniels. Do it again and just put not a lot at the end." So he did, "My name's Don McAllister, not a lot." And I went, "It's Paul Daniels. It's absolutely Paul Daniels." Then we went in this rat hole of talking about Hans Moretti, who used to be on Paul Daniels' show, and loads of other stuff. And then someone posted in the chat room, "I've seen Debbie McGee's Five of Spades." And that was the show title straight away. We're never going to put anything else. I got a letter from Asda on Monday going, I don't think we're going to go ahead with this.
Oops.
And Don McAllister said, why don't you just, you know, tone it down a bit, you know, get the sponsorship. I'm like, no, because that's not who we are. I'm not going to be someone else. No one's going to like us trying to be someone else. They're going to like us being us. Simple as that.
It's Walmart.
And that was the beauty of Will, because Will came on and Will was true to himself. He never said a different word than he wanted to say. And it, you know, hang the consequences.
Does Don McAllister do a natty impersonation of Will? Have you ever asked him?
Well, I've got some sound samples now that he can try to learn off.
Yeah.
He's in Croatia as well. He sends his apologies. He sent apologies for the funeral and he said apologies for the show. And also Rick McCorriston sent an apology and he sent me a story, which again is summarizes Will absolutely. Hang on, where is it? Here we go. I had a legendary trip to Ironbridge. I caught up with Will a few times, and one of those rare people that you could chat to is if you carried on a conversation from that morning, no matter how long it had been, despite it being a few months since the last time I'd spoken to him. On one visit to London, Will managed to get us some tickets to QI, and we both went along to the show at Broadcasting House. We were already well oiled because we'd been out, and by the time we went in, we thought it was strictly forbidden to take anything else in, and we were body searched. But however, when we got in there, Will had managed to smuggle in a hit flask, so we continued to get sozzled. Will then missed his train to Ironbridge, and I can't remember how I got home. I'll remember Will for his charm, his talent behind the microphone, but most of all, his British eccentricity, characterised by a disregard for rules he found pointless, and it'll be all right in the end positivity. I'll truly miss Will. It was an honour to have known him. Rick, who's in Taipei at the moment.
Did you know that Stephen Fry was the patron of his podcast after I was working with Stephen Fry at Bletchley Park and Will sent me this really cool piece of audio and it was just, I think I posted it in my newsletter last week and it was just like, hi, Mr. Fry, you don't know me, I'm kind of nobody, but I'd really, really, really like it if you would be the patron of British Mac. And he says, yeah, in theory, yes. How strange is this guy? I'm like, oh, he's as strange and as wonderful as they get. And, so he was the unofficial official. No money changed hands. He said I had no money to give him, but he would have done it for free anyway.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things I remember, Vic, was visiting you and Will at Ironbridge and him going on about your fridge, that big old fridge.
Yes. The beloved fridge.
Have you still got it?
No, it started electrocuting us.
So Will had this fridge, right? I'm stood there and Vic stood there and Will's going on and on and on about this fine old British fridge. You know the start of Indiana Jones where he's in the atomic explosion in the Crystal Skull? Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
He climbs in a lead-lined fridge and survives the atomic explosion. Yeah. Well, that was the fridge. It looked exactly like that. It was a big, thick, heavy thing.
We had to get a screwdriver to get behind the handle to open it because the handle had come off. He never forgave me for getting rid of that. An electrician came round and said, right, I'm shutting off your electric now. Do not touch anything. I will be back soon. And Will never forgave me. we kept it down in the cellar.
Oh, the thing that always amazed me that day, the two of you were stood in your kitchen and Will was eulogising about this fridge and you just looked at me and went, I just want a fridge with a handle.
The funny thing is, none of us are surprised or shocked or even slightly doubting that he would have that.
Yeah.
Well,
did anyone buy... go on.
I say, unfortunately, there's no other members of Elmark here tonight. And I tried to speak to a couple of the older, more esteemed members when Will was around with Elmark. But Will used to, as you know, had contradictory views on most subjects. And certainly the stayed and played Elmark committee was something that Will railed against quite often, as he wanted to boot them up the arse and get them to be a bit more aggressive. And he got to a point where he said to me one day, and he said, Martin, he said, do you think we could do a coup? Can we take over the running of Elmug and oust all the old fogies? So, of course, I was uncommitted at the time, so I couldn't really go along with this. It was just well, no, he said, we need a GM all up. He said, we need to take on a bit more adventurous attitude towards certain subjects, i.e., you know, you wonder, what was his pet object at the time? He wanted to, oh, the do you remember the puck that came with the iMac? He wanted to kill someone. He wanted to kill the designer.
The mouse.
Of that puck. Mouse, yeah, remember the little round.
Oh, that was a crap mouse. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I'm with
he
him.
Wanted
on that.
To, he wanted to find out and kill the designer of that thing because he said the only good thing you could use it for was like got two of them, tie them together and use them as a bolus, and you could actually wipe out someone. Unfortunately, I managed to calm him down, and he didn't do a Che Guevara and try and take over Elmug. So, you know.
Do you remember the really wet bash at my house when it absolutely chucked it down?
Yeah.
We had microphones, and we had to string the microphone cable up in the roof of gazebos and then let them hang down for people to talk. So we were scared to death of electrocuting people. Steve Neighbor had come to that. And one of the things that Will always eulogized about was Johnny Ive. I mean, Johnny Ive was his absolute hero. He could do no wrong. And Steve Neighbor bought him a blow-up Johnny Ive and gave it to him at the
oh
bash.
My God.
And it was a blow-up doll with a Johnny Ive mask on it. And he produced this out. Will closed his eyes. We held this thing out. Everyone's laughing. There was about 40 people there that day. And he said, go on then, Will, open your eyes. And he opened his eyes. And the first thing Will did was go, oh! Oh, and dive in and gave him a hug. That was the power of Johnny. So Johnny definitely didn't invent that puck.
No. Oh, brilliant.
And do you remember when he, a couple of years back, he decided he was going to learn the ukulele? And we all endured the process of him learning to play the ukulele from absolutely not having a clue to going on to still not having a clue. He's serenade us with this.
Like hanging on every string that he plucked, every string. We were like, yes, and yes.
I think the only thing he ever learnt was, my dog's got fleas.
Oh, brilliant. I forgot about that. That's such a great thing. I've forgotten how great that was. That was so good.
But you'd look forward to it in the next week. What tune was he going to try and murder the following week? You know,
well, he because that was the
he only had three strings on it, didn't he? That was the problem. He only had three strings as well, wasn't it?
Well, I bet him he couldn't play something. And I think the one week he played it, and didn't I have to sing the Star Spangled Banner the following week?
Yeah, yeah, that was super funny. Yeah, what song was it? Do you remember?
I can't remember, but I said, you're never going to learn that. And he learnt it and played it. And I was like, right, okay. And he said, right, come on then. And I've got to sing the Star Spangled Banner.
Yeah, that was classic.
That'll teach you to mess with an accomplished musician. He really knew piano, obviously.
Yeah.
I mean, there's I've got some video of him playing Mr. Blue Sky and me singing along at the bash one year. Pete's got some pictures that he's just posted in the chat room there. If we can gather that, that's brilliant. Because I think that was the bash where Will got, I think that's actually the moment probably nearly where he got the Johnny Ive doll.
Yeah, what's he trying to do to holy the crap, doll? That photo.
That's him.
Yeah.
That's him.
Can someone please grab that out of the and put it in the Slack room?
Oh, I clicked save as so hard on that one.
Got it.
Now, the other thing is Will's entrepreneurial skills. I was talking to Christina, who he was with at the end of his time, and she was telling me that she came home one day and Will had just had this harebrained scheme that they were going to make money by selling chilies at the local market. And he'd gone and bought a pile of plant pots, some plants, and some chili seeds. And they were adamant they were going to make money. Or he was going to adamant he was going to make money from growing chilies. And we all fell foul of the size 9 left shoe. Everyone remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
So he came one week on the show and announced that he'd bought 50 or 150, I think, left shoes, all size 9, in brown.
In beige. In beige.
Beige. And like he was adamant there was an amputee market as well for that kind of thing. And Christian, you said that you got the logic behind that. Go on.
Well, because normally, in the shops, we'll only put one shoe out. And I think it's the right shoe that they put out in the shops. So if Will just knew a really good shoplifter, he could have completed the whole set. Because if he had all the lefts, all of the rights were just sitting in the street on those weird metal shelves. ripe for the picking.
My God.
So it was a brilliant strategy.
Yeah. But it just needed a lot of theft.
I'm going to get some laptop stickers done because of a weird moment that happened in Ironbridge the other night. But they will say, where there's a will, there's a way. Oh. And I think, you know, to immortalize that harebrained scheme, because he could justify anything. He could justify anything, because when you've got an imagination that has so many interconnecting elements, it's doable. And
you could see him making a film with it as well. My left shoe.
No. My left shoes.
Yeah,
I was gonna say he has lots of stand-ins, lots of doubles for it.
We should get the script together.
It could have been a whole new fashion trend that you had a brown left shoe, size 9, and then anything else on the other foot. Could have been a size 10 black loafer. Just nick whatever you fancy from a shop. And there you've got, you know, a whole new style. Why match? Can you imagine Will ever wearing a pair of matched shoes? I suppose no. It would be perfect. Absolutely perfect.
Marwood, did you know about the shoes?
No, no clue.
Right. Do you know about the watches?
No, not either.
So he had a line of watches that he was trying to sell called Genève, G-E-N-I-E-V-E. And they were like a blue-faced Rolex-type watch. And he came on the show and tried to peddle them. I said, I'll have one. So I said, how much? He said, £5. And the cheeky bastard charged me £1.50 postage on top. And sure enough, 2 days later, this watch arrives in the post from Will. Doesn't work.
Did he make them or steal them?
Yeah, I have no clue.
Them from AliExpress.
But for the how good it was at telling time, he may as well have made them and saved himself some money.
Patrice, you're right. He got them through AliExpress. What he did was he had heard about the whole thing about how you can essentially generate passive income by having like a dropship service. Where people buy a product through you, and then the manufacturer or the warehouse or whatever, then they ship it. So he missed the middle part about you have the service that's actually doing the shipping and fulfillment for you. And so he bought all of the watches up front. And I explained to him how it worked. And he looked at me like as if I had slapped him in the face with a fish by presenting him with the most ridiculous idea for selling a product.
Mm.
Solid like businessman.
Say again, Vic.
How boring was that? That was Will, wasn't it? Oh, that's so boring.
Yeah.
The detail.
Yeah, the detail.
He wouldn't get to meet anybody and have conversations if someone else was doing the posting and selling. I don't know. He was such a conversationalist, obviously in the microphone normally, but face to face. When I introduced him to all my old friends, there was a lasting impression, and I'm pretty sure they all became subscribers as well. They had to.
Yeah.
Under pain of death. Yeah.
He was so unique, wasn't he?
Mm.
I'd like to tell you a story about Will, if that's okay, guys.
Dive in, mate.
That's lovely, thank you. So, Will came to stay with us here in France. I'm actually on holiday. I actually do live in the UK now, but I'm holding in France right now, which is why it's so sort of touching that I'm sitting here talking about him, because you know, he slept in the next room from us.
I remember for that. Some... I remember that. I got loads of photos of him in France with you.
Yeah, we had a great time. But you know what? We obviously, when he was here, we had just had some long conversations at night time, as you do, you know. And obviously, he wasn't on his top form, let's say that. And to kind of cheer him up, I kind of said, you know, what is it you want to do with your life? Where do you want to go? Is there something you want to see? You know, anything to kind of, you know, get Will back to some sort of like, you know, what we were used to hearing on the podcast. And he said, I'd love to go to Italy. And I said, why is that? He said, because I could practice me Italian, of course. Well, I didn't know you spoke it, Will. Yeah. I've been practicing for ages. I said, oh my God, what else are there about Italy that you like? I stole architecture and of course the wine. And I kid you not, by the time the conversation ended, my wife has shut the laptop lid and goes, okay, you're going at the weekend, book your flights, you're both going. And we kind of just turned around and looked at each other to my amazement as well. And I go, hang on, mate, you put me with Will for 3 days on my own in a hotel room. And we're going to go to Italy. Yeah, I've booked it. Flights for you off. We've got an Airbnb. He was stunned. I was stunned. And my wife's very much, you know, if you can do it, you should just do it, you know. And I think it's a great philosophy to live by, you know. If you can do it, just get it done. And so the story goes, we got there quite late that night. And the idea in the morning was, what should we do in the morning? It was like, let's go to the Colosseum. We've got to go to the Colosseum. And Will says, oh, well, I want to practice my Italian. Maybe we should go and get a drink first thing in the morning. But let's get there. And Will was a great people watcher. He really liked to sit and observe people. Anybody who knows him would know that. Like he really just liked to sit, take his time and watch life go by. So we got up at like 7:30 in the morning. Got to a local bar which fronted kind of near outside the Colosseum, basically. And he said, I'll order. And I went, great, I'll just have a latte or something proper Italian. He said, great, great. So he goes into the bar. And remember, like it's 7:30, so loads of commuter people are walking around. The view was just stunning. And he comes out with two glasses of milk about that big on a tray, and he just puts it in front of us and he goes, and he sits there and nods. And I'm like, what's that then? He goes, I think that's a latte.
Can I say something?
It's going well, isn't it? Obviously, a latte in Italian is warm milk, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we just sat there like a couple of guys sipping warm milk at 7:30 in the morning. Well, all these commuters look at us going, bloody English, you know, bloody English. Look at them. But yeah, I think Will got a bit confused with his, I think he needed to put the word cafe at the front. But we just sat there and I drank it as quick as I could to get out of there as quick as I could. So sorry, please go on.
So can I say something now?
Please, always.
Will and I, right, we started learning Italian from these tapes years ago by Michel Thomas, who was a guy that was captured during the war. And the only phrase we knew was mi dispiace, but non è possibile, Palma. And that's all we knew, which is, I'm sorry, but I cannot do it because.
So that's all Will knew?
That's all we knew.
In Will's head, he was fluent then.
Oh. That explains the glass of milk.
I mean, I can't tell you that one of the memories was just, you know, also about it or everything. That just fell back. And it was just how funny and casually just put the tray down and we both sat there looking at this warm milk and going, where's the cafe latte then? Another one which my wife giggled so much about. Because obviously he was with us for a few months here, and he did give us so many great laughs. I mean, can you imagine sharing a house with Will for a certain amount of period of time? I mean, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Oh, yeah.
It's got a few years ahead of you, mate.
And I think obviously you would. But my wife just said, because obviously she knew I was doing a podcast, and she said, you've got to tell them. So me and my wife were having a lie-in. And our lie-ins back then were like, one in the afternoon. I mean, we really were taking the mic. We were out in France having a great time. And Will was up here, obviously. And then suddenly, we kind of wake up, and I've been downstairs, made his coffee, brought it back into our bedroom. And we're lying in bed. And then suddenly, we hear this song, Lonely, I'm So Lonely, played through a MacBook Air speaker with a piece of paper shoved under the door saying, I'm lonely. And my wife was like, what the hell?
I think you've got a 10-year-old living with you.
I think we've left Will alone for far too long.
We had Will here for
I think we need to go downstairs.
I think we had Will here for 4 or 5 months before he came over to you. And he was with you for nearly a year, wasn't he?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I think it was 5 months, I think, something like that.
All right. But Will was here, and I've got to say, when I got the message that he was going over to see you and you bought his ticket and everything, I was okay. So I took him to the airport, dropped him off, and got back home. And the whole family were just sat there and were like, it's quiet, isn't it? It's like, really quiet. It really was like, you know, the atmosphere had gone that was there. The man was just irrepressible.
Do you know what? He was a beacon of light while he was here. Obviously, you know, France being lots of French sort of farming villages where we are all together, you know, it's a lovely area. But there is a piano bar just up the road, and all the friends who were with us, we did some wine tasting, some champagne tasting one night, and then he just got on the piano and everybody looked at me and said, who's he? I went, and I was really proud. I was like, that's my friend Will. And it's like, oh my God, he's ace. And the woman from the bar was like, oh, can he come and play every week? I went, hang on a minute, we're not trying to encourage him to live in France. If he gets a gig here, he's never going home.
Because I'm gonna get a piece of paper under my door every morning.
Yeah, come and help. But you know what a great character. And you know, obviously he worked at Apple, I worked at Apple, and we had and I heard stories from other team members. He worked in the Solihull store and I worked in the Birmingham retail store, Birmingham City retail store. So we never crossed paths kind of within that environment, but I certainly had stories of him just turning up to work in his pajama bottoms, like, and it was just like normal. Just like Apple was so lefty, it was like, yeah, that's fine. You can come to work in your pajama bottoms. Absolutely fine.
Well, I bought them, I think it was the black. Do you remember the black MacBook?
Yes, the black MacBook, yeah. Bigger hard drive.
There was a white and the black one, wasn't there? At that time. And they both ran Leopard, I think. That was it. Because you got a whole pile of one-to-ones for a year for that. I turned up and I had Kate a couple of times. Oh, and then I wanted to book in again with Kate. And it's like, Kate's not here this week. She's on holiday. We'll book you when we will. So I booked in to go and see him, met him in the store. He said hi. And I'm sitting talking to him. And the whole time I'm there, I'm like, your voice is familiar. And then we got about half an hour into it. And I went, are you Will Green? And he went, shh.
Don't tell anybody yet.
Don't tell anyone. And I'm like, you're the British Mac. And he's like, shh. Don't tell anyone. And I found out he'd been doing British Mac against the rules from the outset, almost.
Yeah, it was a serious thing that you were not allowed to talk about Apple on social media. You weren't allowed to discuss Apple on social media. And then, like you, Ewan, I found out he worked at Apple. I was like, hang on a minute. He's not even allowed to do that. But how he got away with it was just brilliant, really. Again, classic Will, the rules don't apply. You know, it was just him all over doing what he wanted when he wanted. And I thought, blimey, that was great, you know. And and I just want to put a bit of a shout out actually to Scott Patterson. Scott through you guys, really, through British Mac, through Ewan's podcast as well. And Scott was the guy who basically managed to get hold of those 36 episodes of British Mac. He was a patron of Will, probably one of the few patrons of Will's gold podcast, as it were. And he managed to grab hold of those 36 episodes, which I've now, is it Christian? Yeah, we've
Yeah. So, Christian, so just shout out about what you're trying to do, so we can get people to send in stuff if they have it.
I've spoke to Wikimedia on the off chance that archive.org could host the podcast in its entirety. And at the moment, it looks really positive. Someone's spoken and says, oh, yeah, I just need to speak to the right person. But there's no reason why not, especially as at one point it was the number one tech podcast. Yeah. So it has some historical provenance. Not only that, it's comedy. It's a comedy legend.
Well, it was the original British podcast. That's the that was the only British podcast when podcasts first came out in 2000.
So is there a way to get every single one?
Well, that's we're hoping the community is going to dig through old Time Machine backups, old MacBooks. I've already gone through two of my old MacBooks, and sadly, there's nothing there. I was convinced they'd all be on one because they all downloaded into the podcast app. But for some reason, they've all been wiped. So I've been putting a shout out a bit on social media. So anybody listening to this, if you do have a blog, I've mentioned it in my newsletter. If you've got just one episode of the non-Patreon one.
Marl, you had a question earlier, didn't you?
Did I?
Because your dad was working on British Mac 2.0.
Mate, that is the best Will Green response ever. You had a question, didn't you? Did I?
Like father, like son.
And and he wondered if Will completed that one, that episode.
No, it was a podcast.
I don't know if he started the relaunch. He had a lot of work in progress, which was probably a massive pile of scraps of paper.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, when he was here, he had his MacBook Air. And of course, all the samples and things, because he recorded, I think, 3 to 5 shows here in France. He recorded in the back bedroom here. So I know he had a lot of the audio samples on the laptop that he had a MacBook Air at the time. So I kind of don't know what happened to that computer and if he had any hard drives going with it as well. But for me, I mean, I heard a podcast searching for anything British Mac. And I came across one that was quite live, and I kid you not, I was crying in the car, not because obviously the fact that Will's not here anymore, but because it was just so brilliant. I mean, he really well and truly knocked the wheels off his podcast to the point that the guy said, right, you're going to be a guest on the show, but to be fair, let's just carry on. And it was honestly, it was about 2 hours, and it entertained me all the way up here, driving up to France. It was just incredibly funny. So I would, again, put the urge out, like Christian said, not only British Mac, but any podcast he was on, because he kind of gave, I felt like he kind of gave away a little bit more of himself.
Yeah.
On the podcast as well, we kind of heard a little bit more about what Will was about, such as recording podcasts at the back of the Volkswagen van. A lot of people familiar that he did a lot of that. He recorded a lot of those sessions at the back of the van as well. I wasn't aware of that. You know, I was aware I had a Volkswagen, but didn't know that we used it for. But again, I would urge anybody to just get in contact and get those episodes passed.
But he spoke to you as you were friends, didn't he? You were all friends.
Well, he actually was. I mean, there's no question he was a friend.
But Marwood, you've got access to his iCloud account.
Oh, yeah, I'm using his old MacBook Air right now for this.
Yeah.
So if you can find any of the old recordings and the samples or anything that you have, and we could put it into a big central pot, that would be amazing. Because then we can put them all in order, we can tag them all up. Whether they'll allow an XML or whatever kind of feed, I don't know. Even if just each individual one is downloaded, I think the community could get really behind that. Because in a world of everybody trying to be somebody, Will was always Will, and that authenticity is still very, very rare to find.
And that's what I'm thinking. If he was trying to record for British Mac 2.0, and he's done some little bits on there that are in the cloud, we could couple those together and get them on the community, couldn't we?
Oh, that'd be brilliant. Wow. That'd be so good.
That'd be amazing.
Totally brilliant. I know, we recorded something in Rome. We actually recorded something in Rome. And he played it back to me. And, you know, it's, you hear your own voice. But now I'm talking with Will, and it's on the podcast. And I was, like, baffled, because I've been listening to it for years, and suddenly now I'm on his podcast, and it felt so surreal. And I was kind of hoping I'd hear that again, but again, it's kind of been lost. That show's been lost, and I'd love to find out if anybody had it.
As far as BTN goes, we've got all the shows that Will appeared on, because all of the shows are on the server. TSO host gave us a massive server, so they're all there. We just stopped putting them out there because I had a public funded contract, and I was scared to death of losing it. That's the reason I stopped podcasting, because I'm scared to death of losing it. And when that's over and done with, I'll be back in a heartbeat. But we've got all of those. And one of them was Carl Swagger, who does The Daily Show. He couldn't do it for a week, and Will offered to take over. And I've got all of those five, po-faced, unfunny. It's the anti-Will. And it's superb, because you know it's him, but it's not him.
Well, that's his second brain then. I'd like to hear those.
I do remember him telling me about that, Ewan, that he was so scared to mucking it up and ruining it that he said he just said to me, "I've got to be really good. I've got to practice." And I think he's sitting in the mirror at that one point because he wanted it to be right for you. Bless you.
No, he got he researched all the stories correctly. Oh, he was the least Will he's ever been in his entire life that week.
He wanted to be local councillor. Here.
Oh my god, that would have been so much fun.
I would have voted from him from here.
Well, I've got a picture of him standing in front of a mirror where he'd written on with lipstick saying "vote for me."
That's awesome.
Yeah. The highlight of "vote for Will."
Vote for Will, that's right.
Yeah.
He could have used that tagline. He could have used "where there's a will, there's a way." He would have won.
Oh my god.
I love that tagline. We need to print some t-shirts for British Matters.
Absolutely. I mean, if we have Will standing like Tony Hancock, Mike, there used to be this cool Tony Hancock meme. He'd come back.
I did some headshots of Will, so I've got those somewhere. I just need to find them.
Yeah. You remember the picture he did where he was Reggie Perrin standing in front of the sea naked?
Yes. Yeah.
Yes. I saw that on his
Twitter. It scarred me. So, one of his requests to me was when he was here was, because I had a drone, I was doing some drone work here over the chateaus and stuff, great stuff. He said, "Can we go in the field and you'd send the drone over and then I spin around and then the drone zooms up looking down at me and I can yell something like," and I was like, "Okay, great." Oh my God, I think we went out of three batteries through the whole thing. It was just like the crazy. My wife's like, "Where are you going?" I went, "I'm going to play with Will in the field with a drone for the next 4 hours, probably." And the idea was it would go across the sunflowers, lift up, and Will would be looking up the sky. And then he just span round. You can imagine local farmers here thinking, "What the heck are you guys playing at?" You know, traipsing through the field at 8 o'clock in the morning. It was again, pure Will moment, really. And I'd love to find that footage because I'm sure we used it somewhere.
Really,
Adam, you've joined us. Hello, mate.
Hey, how you doing? Can you hear me all right?
So Adam is from the Matcast podcast. And I think you and Will probably started podcasting similarly times.
Well, probably because he would use my show notes to do his show.
Oh, are you the anti-Will?
Yeah, I know. That's right. I've forgotten that. Will openly said on the podcast that when he first started, he used to just steal Adam's show notes and then do a show off them.
Yeah.
That's funny.
In fact, he mentioned that in some of his Patreon podcasts as well. And he said that Adam said it was okay. And he says, "Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice?"
They are share and share alike, you know, Creative Commons licensed, I've always told him. So as long as he says they're mine, he could use them. What I always said to him.
Oh, and boy, did he!
It was
use
great.
Them.
He used them. Yeah.
Well, he was so nice. I remember at a bash, the boy could not play Cards Against Humanity. He couldn't get the idea of being horrible to anyone.
No.
He was just like, "What? Hey, what's the point of this game? I don't get it." So when you were on about him being so nice, you didn't mind that. It was just a case of, "Oh my God, bless him. You're so naive."
I found Will's Don McAllister impression. Do you want to hear it?
Yes, oh, please. Yeah.
Okay. I hope this plays.
For that, you're going to get my Don McAllister impression. Hello, this is Don McAllister. Not a lot.
That's totally Paul Daniels.
Don could be in the room. My God.
Awesome.
There's loads. I've got 20 sound files here that were all from the app that Andy Bourne made.
Oh, that hurt. Steady, I've got this face insured for £1.50. I'd like you to take a few minutes to think about what you've just done.
No, I'll make those available to anyone who wants them because I'll carry on. Okay. All right. You ready?
Yeah.
Let's go. I bet it's ranking has put you up to this, isn't it? My nose is a funny shape anyway. Don't make it worse. I really love it when you do that. You wouldn't be doing it as royalty, would you?
Don't say that.
Well, this one.
I really love it when you do that. Brilliant. Thank you. I enjoyed that. Well, if you hate me all that much, good luck to you.
I think that.
Oh, go on. Do it again. Ooh, cheeky. Ouch. Well, I hope that makes you feel better. Thank you for buying this app. All profits go to the NSPCC. So, punch me again. Will you stop hitting me?
Oh, my goodness.
Have a care, madam. You feel better for that? Stop hitting me. Oh, that hurt. But don't worry. Not a lot. I didn't see that one coming. Oh, steady. Right, you're going to get it this time.
There you go. That's all of them.
Oh,
they were all
fantastic.
Well,
I didn't
realize that he did actually sound like Paul Daniels, didn't he?
Oh, that is absolutely. That was the episode that ruined my future as a podcasting host of National Proportions. We had a caricature of Will done as well.
Where it actually happened the moment it happened.
Yeah, we had a caricature done of Will because when I had my old office, we had the wall of shame, and it was all of the people who were on BTN. I paid Len Peralta to do caricatures for them all, and I've sent it to you, Vicky, and I've put it in the room, and I'll put it in the Slack room as well.
Oh, good. I've no idea what the Slack room is or how to get to there.
You need an invitation. Will had an invitation, but he never used it. Will never came in the Slack room, I don't think. Maybe the first time he was in there, he probably said a hi and that was it. But he never, he had his own Slack room and everyone that was in there used to chat away. I was in it as well. And he never said a word. I'm just trying to see if I still haven't got access to it now. But.
I don't know. I don't think Will talking or saying things in Slack would be the same without his voice. His voice and his enthusiasm and the way he talked. And like anytime he was on the show, I was like, oh, this is going to be fantastic. It was always my favorite thing when I came in and saw him on it.
And I'd forgotten as well, Marwood, you and Kitty won the World Card Cutting Championships.
Yes.
Oh, you're the winners. Okay. You are internationally famous for winning the card cutting championship.
Yeah. I mean, Martin, you said we were going to get that registered at some point as being the official event.
Yeah, we should do.
Are we going to be in the Guinness Book of Records?
I don't think so.
We need to get in before the Americans get in and turn it into a huge billion-dollar sport. But
yeah. No, I mean, I just came up with the most. What can we do as a bit of fun? Well, let's have a tournament on card cutting. And my wife at the time, Sharon, was like, that's stupid. What are you doing? I'm like, it'll be hilarious because it's absolutely potluck. There is absolutely no skill to this whatsoever. Everyone can play against everyone else. And it was a huge success.
Yeah. And no ages in it, no sex in it, no nothing. Yeah, anyone and everyone can win it. It's brilliant.
Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. We've done it at our county show, and we again, everyone looked at it as sort of what the hell. But by the end of it, when we got down to the sort of semi-finals, it was getting it was like the Ashes all over again. It was really, really good because we had a really young kid, 8 or 9 year old kid, against this bloke who was taking it like I think he wanted to be a professional card gutter, and he was really teed off that he lost. Marwa, do you remember we stayed at that workman's club that year? And you came back with us. And when we came back, do you remember that it was covered in those little cylinders, you know, the little gas cylinders that they use in these days? And Will was determined to find a way that he could make some money out of this. So they were throwing all these away. He thought there might be like, remember returning the old bottles? You used to get a 6p on the bottle when you returned it. He was convinced he could gather all these things up and somehow make money on selling them again, maybe refilling them. It's something ICI do. You can't start refilling these cylinders, Will.
I don't know how long this is, but Adam's found a clip of Will where he mentions stealing his show notes. Hang on.
Yeah, it's about 2 minutes. We'd have to play the whole thing.
Hello, everyone. It's Will. From the UK, so I just thought I'd reach out and I suppose generally just say thank you. I absolutely love the Mattcast. It was one of the very first podcasts I ever listened to, and it's absolutely superb. I still steal your show notes, of course. but why not? Anyway, but for the Mattcast listenership, I thought I'd ask you a question about the future of the iPhone. I was reading an article today, and it said iPhone 11, is it going to be boring? And you know, I sort of thought about this, and is it going to be dull? To be fair to Apple, where can they take this thing? We've got the new fold-ups.
I've never heard Will being this serious.
It strikes me as slightly gimmicky.
Well, apart from when he did the Daily Show.
Things to innovate and to do in a new place. The form factor, I suppose, well, as always, could be made thinner, but what's the point? Not much of an innovation. I suppose the one bright thing we can look forward to, and I suppose it applies to the iPad more than the iPhone, is iOS 13, which I think we're going to see the iPad transform into pretty much a desktop replacement and get away from the you know, years ago I bought the very first iPad, and if I'm honest, not that much has changed in the user interface and the user experience. The iPhone, I don't know what they'll do.
I'm bored.
Me too.
Well, that was prophetic. The iPad would be a replacement for the desktop. Well done, Will.
Yeah, he kind of hit that on the head, didn't he, really?
He did. That was a couple of years before it really was.
I just find it so weird because I don't think, probably like many of us really in the room here, we've ever lost anybody of such a probably young age, really, that have left behind such a legacy of content. Because, you know, obviously when I found out Will was a leftist, I spent the night listening to those podcasts that Scott had found. And it was very comforting, really, just being able to sit, well, lie in bed, really, in complete darkness, and just sit there chuckling through old iPhone news that I'd heard probably a million times through Adam's show, through Ewan's show. And it was just so lovely, because I don't know anybody in my life that have left such a great thing behind, and I love it. I love that I have that.
It's really, you know, interesting, isn't it? The whole immortality aspect of it. And there is this phrase, I mentioned it at the funeral actually, that, you know, we die twice. We die when the last impulses have left our brain, but also 100 years after someone has, like the last time someone mentions your name. And when there's this amount of archive floating around there, that's, it's like Will can't die the second time.
he will always be remembered, I'm sure, especially because of all the hard drives that everybody's holding on to, and things surface all the time. That's what, for me, the key interest for getting that archived on something like Wikimedia, whose servers are in their mind, providing there's no massive sunspot or a collapse in civilization, that the servers will continue running forever.
Yeah.
I do remember when Steve Jobs has been interviewed about his immortality, and he was saying
feedback off someone.
Okay,
Steve Jobs was interviewed talking about how will people remember him for what he's done.
It's you, Ian.
There goes.
Go ahead, James.
Yes, so Steve Jobs very quickly was interviewed asking, would he be remembered as time and history moved on? And he says, and I love the way he phrased it. He says, I'm in the layers of technology. And if you delve deep enough, you'll find me. I will be there, because he said, I will be forgotten at some point. But if people are interested in the work, i.e. computers, etc., they find me in the layers that have moved down through the years. And that's where I think, Will well and truly will be. Absolutely. Yeah. But more in the podcast, in terms where, like most of us probably here, we started on Adam's podcast. I was a HGV driver. I was driving sort of 5-6 hours a day, five days a week. I had nothing to listen to. The radio was boring to me. The idea of listening to a podcast, which was actually around the Mac that I was interested in, and it was this guy in America, and I was going, this is great. I've actually found something that made sense to me. And I remember Adam was talking about the iPhone coming out, and that I don't think either you couldn't afford one, or the price was so high that somebody on your podcast, Adam, had sent the money in for you to have it. And I thought,
two of them.
And I couldn't believe that, that the community was desperate for Adam to get this iPhone and do a review about it. And I remember thinking, wow, I want to be part of this. And then I found Will's podcast, and then my life as a HGV light driver just become amazing, as you can imagine, because now I've got Will, and now I've got Adam's podcast, and then Ewan pops up, and then I'm thinking, wow, I've got all the audio I need as a driver for the rest of my days. So I want to thank you, Adam, especially as you're here. And obviously Ewan, definitely, 100%, just brilliant. Brilliant. You guys just doing so much for us. I think it was just brilliant, so thank you.
I mean, at the peak, we had 25,000 listening to the Mac Show, and there's no question that Will was a big part of that.
I really believe. He was so entertaining. He was way entertaining, more entertaining than I ever was, for sure.
You were an informational podcast. You were a guy who gave information and made it listenable and enjoyable. But Will was a clown, and I mean that.
He knew how to entertain.
Will was the epitome, the most pure form of BTN. No rails, nothing, no structure.
Boundary, didn't he?
Exactly. I mean, we would go off and just go somewhere else.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So it's more fun.
I love the fact Patrice has put in the chat here. One area we finally sorted the audio on the stream, and that is very on brand, but I was like, that is Will entirely. Couldn't be more appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, you told me a story. I don't want this to get too painful for anyone, but you told me a story, Christian, that Will was Will to the very end.
Yeah. But I can't remember what context that was in.
Oh, okay. Well, it was just that Will...
I was told this at the funeral. Yes. Yeah. And it's a tough thing to talk about, but one thing that really resonated with me is when I was talking with family, they said that we knew he was always a joker. He joked constantly. He made fun of himself. he loved making fun of me and all those around him, but in a very, very polite and nice way. Mm. And while he was sick and while he was ill, all the way up to the last moments, he was making light of it or cracking jokes. And there was an incident with some ice cream. I wasn't there, so I mean, I heard this secondhand. And the doctor came along and mentioned that he could have a glass of wine now if he wanted to. And Will knew what that meant. And him like, well, if this is the good news, I don't know exactly what happened, but the fact he was making light of the inevitability that was about to happen, and the only thing that stopped him cracking jokes was a big dose of morphine, which is what he really probably needed. And he was Will to the absolute very end.
I think that's entirely it. That's the man he was. And for me, there was never a moment where I didn't enjoy the company and the output that Will, you know, whatever came out of his mouth, it always made me laugh. It always made me feel better about myself. And he was a bit selfless in that regard, absolutely. But when you told me that at the funeral, I chuckled because it, like, there's nothing better than being who you are all the way through your life.
Even when I was with him in his flat waiting for the ambulance, and it took a long time for him to come down the stairs, and I said to him, I thought you told me you were going to stop being a pain in the ass, and he laughed. Still had his sense of humour. We both have the same sense of humour, you know?
Yeah. There was a strange moment when I've dropped a link into the IRC. I can drop it here if you want, but I promised Will that I'd take him to do some amateur radio. Just a minute.
Yep.
And so that after the funeral, I tried to find a seat that he told me, oh, I know this hill. There's a bench on a hill near a church behind where I live. We'll go there. We'll set the radio up. We'll grab some wine. We'll have a drink. We'll do a podcast. And we'll do some amateur radio. And I'm like, brilliant. Yeah, when? I'm away most of August. I'm away most of October. September. September it is. September's too far away. We never made it. But like after the funeral, everybody had kind of dissipated. I went back to the hotel. I got my amateur radio and I stuck a microphone on and I wandered around trying to find. And there's a lot of steps. And I was up and down these steps and all over the place. There's a lot of heavy breathing. It might not be a
recording for everybody.
And then I got to the bench, I say, I think this is it. And I can hear echo around me, hallelujah, which Will said more than once, hallelujah. And I'm like, where did that come from? It really freaked me out. And then I pour a glass of wine and I toast Will and I get the radio out and I'm tuning the radio. Can't find anybody to talk to on the normal frequencies. And then I click onto a conversation and this is captured on the audio. And the first thing that said is, where there's a will, there's a way. That freaked me out. And then this gentleman walks past and I do think you know him because he stands at the school gates with you. He chatted about my radio. What's this all about? I says, oh, I was meant to be here with a friend called Will Green. Did you know him? Oh, yeah, I knew Will Green. I've known him for many, many years. I used to go and watch him play piano. So straight away, I'm meeting the people that knew him in the area.
Yeah.
And that was just a beautiful moment as well. So it was like the whole thing was guided by him in a way. And that was really lovely. And it made for a wonderful ending to a beautiful send off. And then when I came to kind of edit it together, there was this song that I remember Will's just getting super emotional about. And as I am still in that kind of weird emotional state, he kind of almost breaks down at the end of this song. And I found the audio and I was so glad it was in that little treasure trove of final pieces. And he just kind of chokes up and he goes, oh, you know, that was just an incredible piece of music. Wouldn't you agree that was an incredible piece of music? That is, if ever there was evidence that there was a God, almost. Do you remember that?
What piece of music was it?
I can tell you because I've listed it on the piece of audio. I'll drop the audio into the chat here as well. But it was by Bach, and it was cello solo number 4, played by Slava Grigorian.
Can you play it now, or is that not?
I'm not sure if I well, it's on Spotify. So if I was to, let me see if I can bring that up. I might have
Try and get it on.
Yeah. So if I've accidentally clicked it on Apple Music, that's not going to be very helpful because I'm not a Zoom user normally. I'm in the browser. So yeah, it's called Cello Suite Volume 2 by Slava Grigorian. Quite an amazing piece of music, but when he chokes up at the end like that, I put that at the end of my little podcast because
we'll find the music and we'll add it at the end. I think that play out on with the picture.
I would say I've just, you know, you kindly sent me the link to that podcast, Christian, and it's just brilliant. I really, really enjoyed your take on the whole thing, and yeah, your breathlessness of walking up the hills of Ironbridge. You know, I only live on the corner, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And I'm just so sorry I couldn't be there because I'd have loved that. But you did that audio an absolute, oh God, honestly, it was brilliant. Again, thank you so much, because I think that's so touching what you did there. And for anybody who gets a chance, I think it's about 40 minutes of content that you did, I think.
Longer than I normally do.
Yeah, but it was good. It was really good. And and as you said, you channeled him well. It was brilliantly done. So thank you for that. Thank you for letting me out, getting on that.
Yeah. And then, of course, he only wanted to do amateur radio because of Tony Hancock, I think.
Yeah.
He only wanted to outlive Tony Hancock, didn't he? That was the...
And did he?
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, well, yes, he did. Yeah. There's something he said at 40th birthday. He said, as long as I can make 44, because he just turned 46 months before, and he says, if I can make 44, I've beat Tony. I didn't know who Tony was originally. I mean, I knew Tony Hancock, but I didn't know he was talking about him. So, yeah.
Yeah, he idolised Tony Hancock and John Le Mesurier and... You know,
and you told me that Will carried a key ring around with him everywhere. Was it you? Somebody mentioned that he carried this battered Tony Hancock key ring in his pocket. He put a photograph into a little plastic frame.
I remember the night I went and stayed with him and Vic.
No.
I was forced into two things. One was a curry at the AFTAB, and the other one was I had to watch bloody Withnail and I.
Oh my God! Yeah,
that was his film. So many
times. Hence Marwood.
Yep.
Yeah. You
know, that's the I character, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, that pub where they sat in with Nell and I in the film, again, it was another one of those unfulfilled missions. So I will have to go there. It's in a place called Stony Stratford.
Yes, I think Will has been there. He searched for it a bit, and I think he ended up in different places that weren't the right pub. And eventually, I believe he did get there before I met him.
See, I love that attention to detail. I love that. I mean, people go to religious places or these massive, he'll go to these lovely little niche pubs and places where something beautiful in his life happened. I like that.
Will and I fell to the gods of comedy. You know, the house where The Good Life was filmed, things like that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, guys, I've got to say goodbye.
I was going to say, let's hang on a second, because I think we're kind of at a point where it's nice to wrap it up now. So so if you've got a glass, Will Green was an amazing part of the British Tech Network. He was idyllic in doing British Mac as well. I'm gutted that I couldn't recover the site for him, but I think it's time to just raise a glass to Will and to the glorious mysteries of life.
The glorious mysteries of life.
Chinches.
Where does the
Thanks,
will?
Everyone. Thank you.
The will was away.
Thanks, guys. Absolutely brilliant. Really enjoyed it. Thank you.